All signs seem to point to pensioners being given an exemption from Labor's plan to scrap tax refunds given to some shareholders on dividends. The opposition has been under attack from the government since announcing the policy for the effect it would have on retirees, though it's so far ruled out any changes. But in an apparent change of heart, Labor is shaping up to exempt up to 200,000 plus part pensioners and 14,000 full pensioners from the policy. Andrew Lee is the Shadow Assistant Treasurer. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Patricia. Great to be with you.
So how are you going to protect pensioners from the adverse effects of this imputation tax policy? What are you looking to do?
Well, Patricia, first thing to do is just take a step back and look at what we've announced with this policy. This is a policy that is designed to curtail a uniquely Australian tax concession, which has turned the tax office into an ATM for multimillionaires. We have the unusual situation of people with many millions of dollars in their superannuation accounts receiving cheques from the tax office. Now, most of your listeners driving home will be in the position where they think at the end of the year, how much tax am I going to pay? But this cash refundability introduced in 2000 at the peak of the first mining boom is a system which is not only inequitable, but doing nothing for growth in Australia. So that's why we've announced this policy, to bring some integrity back to the imputation
system.
So
you've given me the sales pitch for the policy. I'm asking you about the exemptions. Are you looking to exempt pensioners?
Well, we've already said we're exempting charities, we're exempting not-for-profit institutions. And Patricia, we've been facing down a scare campaign from the government, which has relentlessly sought to mislead by looking at taxable income. The taxable income...
Sure, but you haven't answered my question. You're going back to the policy and I respect that you want to explain your policy, but I'm asking if you're looking to exempt pensioners.
Well, Patricia, we'll always going to be a party that looks after pensioners. Pensioners are always going to be better off under the Labor Party than they will under the Coalition. We've got a great track record on pensions, as you know, the biggest increase in the age pension, and opposing the attempt in the Coalition to try and index pensions to prices rather than wages, opposing the Coalition's attempt to raise the pension age to 70, opposing the Coalition's axing of the energy supplement, which is in the Parliament.
Okay,
right,
so is
now
the one of the ways that you could change the policy you've announced to create an exemption for pensioners and part pensioners from this policy?
Well, look, you can certainly speculate on those things. But what I'm saying to you is that the policy Labor has announced has real integrity. I was frankly flabbergasted that rather than being willing to work with us, the Coalition immediately set out running a scare campaign.
I don't want to do any speculating. I just want to know whether you're looking to exempt pensioners and part pensioners.
And I've told you that pensioners are always going to be better off under a Labor government.
So that's a confirmation?
Look, Labor has a great track record of looking after pensioners. If it wasn't for Labor, then we would have had worse pension indexation. We would have seen a pension age go up to 70. And the Liberals are still trying to take away access to the Commonwealth Seniors Health Card to make it harder for seniors to go overseas. They're trying to take away a range of pensioner concessions. The Liberals have, in every budget they've introduced, sought to make pensioners worse off. So to run this absurd scare campaign against Labor's
carefully targeted dividend imputation reforms. And we're all about facts here at the ABC, as you know. So we're talking about the facts. And the facts are that some pensioners and some part pensioners will be affected adversely. That's a fact from your policy, which is why clearly Labor is now looking at exempting those pensioners, which you haven't ruled out here in this interview. So with the benefit of hindsight, should you have gone in to the policy making that decision rather than trying to retrofit it later?
Well, I think it's worth taking a step back and just looking at what the policy does. I mean, if you look at the cash refunds that go to people in self-managed super funds, 90% of that is going to the top tenth of people in self-managed super funds. We've had independent analysis saying that on Labor's existing policy, as we've announced it, 80% of the cash refunds are going to the top people in the top fifth of the distribution. And as I've said, Patricia, this is a loophole that isn't doing anything for economic growth right now. I would love to see a more strongly growing Australian economy after a year in which the economy has basically been stalled. We need to think about ways of ensuring that our tax concession system drives growth while also maintaining equity. This tax concession is doing neither of those two things.
So if you were to exempt pensioners and part pensioners, how much would it affect the amount you're planning to save in this with this policy?
Patricia, I admire your diligence on focusing on this issue. What we can certainly say is that the vast majority of the revenue that is raised from closing this uniquely Australian tax concession comes from those in the very top. The impact on full pensioners, less than 1% affected, part pensioners, less than 1 in 10 affected. This is a tax loophole, which is unusual. And frankly, many of your listeners probably didn't even know that the ATO was writing checks to a group of multimillionaires before Labor announced the policy.
Of course, but they're also writing checks to pensioners and part pensioners, so they would know.
Indeed, and as I've said, that's not to 99% of full pensioners. And the Coalition's scare campaign around people with low taxable income ignores the fact that superannuation drawdown isn't taxable. So you could, for example, have a couple with $3 million in super owning their own home, having $200,000 of Australian shares held outside super. They might draw down $130,000 a year of superannuation income, $15,000 a year of dividend income, but they'd still be reporting a taxable income of only $15,000 and paying no income tax at all. So you can have quite unusual situations. Someone with a taxable income of $15,000, but assets between $3 and $4 million.
There's news just breaking that Pauline Hanson is doing an interview saying that she will definitely support the corporate tax cuts. Of course, the government still needs an extra two senators, we know, but that the One Nation Party has struck a deal. Given that, what's your view in terms of what Labor should suggest? Should you repeal the corporate tax cuts if they are legislated?
Well, Patricia, we're talking about a change which is yet to take effect, and were it to take effect, the 25% tax rate for big businesses wouldn't come in until the middle of 2026, more than 8 years away and probably three elections away. Labor said that we don't think that this is something the country can afford right now.
So does that mean that if it is legislated, that you are prepared to repeal the corporate tax cuts?
Look, let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is something that hasn't even yet passed the Parliament, but Labor has argued vociferously against it. And indeed, I've got new research published in the journal Economic Analysis and Policy, which looks at one of the core contentions the government's been making, that companies that pay less company tax create more jobs. And in fact, when you look across 1,000 profitable Australian firms, turns out to be the opposite. My research shows on that question that firms which pay a company tax rate, an effective company tax rate below 25%, are on net shedding jobs. The job creating firms are those that are paying an effective company tax rate above 25%.
So given, you know, you've talked about your own paper that you've published today and I've seen that, your instinct would be that you should repeal the tax cuts, the corporate tax cuts, I'm imagining, given you think that they're useless at creating jobs.
Patricia, this is a hypothetical which is sitting 8 years off in advance. Our first priority is to stop the government legislating this right now. We don't think
it makes
any sense.
But if you can't stop it, of course, and you're running to be the alternative government, people will want to know what you're prepared to do in relation to corporate tax.
Absolutely. But right now, the notion that we're going to rip money out of Australian schools, raise taxes to the order of some $400 for a worker on $70,000 in order that we can give a large giveaway to foreign shareholders just seems absurd. And we've seen over the last 2 years when Malcolm Turnbull's been Prime Minister, corporate profits increase 32%, wages increase 4%. So what does Malcolm Turnbull want to do? He wants to give a company tax cut to big business and cut penalty rates. That's exactly the wrong prescription to get growth going and bring down inequality in Australia.
Just on another issue that no doubt you are all over, as we all are in this country, you do some work for the Indigenous Marathon Project. What kind of message is the Australian cricket team sending young sports people, you know, across different disciplines of sport?
Yeah, I mean, I think of that old Bill Woodfull line from 85 years ago when he says there's, in the Bodyline incident, where he says there's two teams out there and only one of them's playing cricket. And you never want that that notion to be applied to Australia. But it's such a reminder that in cricket, as in so many other sports, how you play the game really matters. And the Indigenous Marathon Project is a great example of the building sport as a way of instilling ethics in young people. As a marathon runner, I've learned a huge amount from running alongside Deke and the Indigenous Marathon Project charges. I organised a sports forum last Friday with Heather Garriock, Sue Reid and Rob DiCostella at University of Canberra to talk about some of these challenges of balancing sport and a good life for young Australians. And yeah, it really saddens me when we see our sporting stars falling short, because you know what that means in the hearts of so many young sportsmen and women around Australia.
Many thanks for your time tonight, Andrew Lee.
Thanks, Patricia. Great to be with you.